Okay, well, we're going to spend a little time in God's Word, which is always a wonderful thing to do. We're going to look at one word in God's Word, and that is the word remember. Can you remember that? Remember. God exhorted this in Manifestations for us to remember. We just heard it. We use the term remember in cliches. There was an old cliche from the early 1800s that you may have remembered from our days in history in school. And that was, remember the Alamo. Right. And in recent times, remember 9-1-1. And those phrases were a call to action to the individuals here in that phrase. Remember the Alamo was a slogan to revive, or not revive, but inspire the Texans to fight hard against the Mexicans, because the Mexicans took over Alamo and destroyed it. And so it was remember the Alamo, and it would help those soldiers and those Texans to muster up some conviction to fight hard and to win. And in our day and time with 9/11, it helps us to remember of the eternal vigilance necessary to protect our lands and to be on guard from our enemies, because we do have enemies. But it, remember 9/11, 9/11, you know, you wouldn't go right back to living life, nothing else is going to happen to me. No, it's remember 9/11, remember what happened and why. Now we do the same thing with parenting. Maybe one of our kids will do something that's dangerous or harmful to themselves, about to or did already, and then they go to do it again, and you say, remember what happened last time? Did this? Do you remember how it hurt? Or do you remember this? And it helps the individual to recall back in their mind, oh yeah, that hurt, and I don't want that to happen again. It's a call to action, or a call to not do something per se. So it's a very important part of our lives, or can be. Now the word remember, according to E.W. Bollinger, he defines it in for New Testament words, to call to one's mind, a calling up to mind. And in my little two-bit brain, or one-bit brain, whatever, I think we can look at it in the sense of, to remember is an act of the mind whereby you bring an incident, thought, belief, command, action, etc. of the past back to the forefront of your mind. It is often used for a call to action. It can be an aid to your thinking and life and well-being. So the first thing we're going to do is look at, in the word, that God remembers. He utilizes this great truth. And in Genesis chapter 9, we'll look at an incident where he's speaking to Noah. God remembers. To remember is a very helpful thing for our lives. Genesis chapter 9, and then we're going to look at it in verse 12, and this is God speaking to Noah after the flood. Here we go, verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant. Covenant's like a contract or an agreement between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. We call it a rainbow, right? And I will remember thy covenant. I will remember thy my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. So here we see that God used the rainbow to help him remember. Now it's a figure of speech, condescensio, manlike characteristics given to God. God doesn't necessarily need aids to remembering. We do, and that's a manlike characteristic. And he's saying, hey, I got this rainbow, it's going to be in the cloud, and every time I see that, I'm going to remember your covenant. So don't be concerned. Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. Verse 23, dealing with a covenant that God made with certain people, children of Israel, and Abraham. Chapter 2, verse 23, and it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed for reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their crying came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God, what? Remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. So here again, God is remembering a covenant. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. The word remember is used a lot in the Bible. Chapter 26, verse 42. This is God speaking, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. Three times in one verse. It's going to remember those covenants. It's going to remember the land. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. God does remember. He utilizes this great means to live life, to be. When we remember something, it helps us call ourselves to an action. Psalm 103, verse 14. This is a good thing that God remembers this one. For he, referring to God, knows our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. That's a pretty good thing. And here's the reason why he does that. Verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear or have a respect or an honor or an awe for him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. So he has that compassion on his children because he remembers these guys are just like, they're just dust. They're frail. So it's a good thing he does remember that. It's good for us or for mankind also to do this thing of remembering. We're going to look at verse 15, same psalm here. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Great benefits for man when he remembers God's covenant, remembers God's commandments, and carries them out. Great benefits. So if we didn't remember it to do it, maybe those benefits wouldn't be benefiting us. So it's it's beneficial, it's good for man to remember that which God has given us to remember. Let's go to Psalm 6. Now, we can only do this when we are alive. Psalm 6, verse 5. Says, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" We are to remember while we're still breathing. don't put this off to, I'll get to it someday. I'll think about that another day. Someday we're going to die. And all those days of being able to remember what God has commanded us and the goodness of God will be over until the return. In death, there is no remembrance of God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. To remember is something that God actually commands man to do. And we choose to obey or to not obey. But there is great benefit to us when we do it. And in Exodus chapter 13, this is dealing with Israel, the children of Israel leaving Egypt. And in dealing with keeping the Passover, in verse 3, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you up out from this place. There shall be no leavened bread to be eaten. This day came ye out in the month of Abib. And it shall be, when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that, reason being, right here, that thou shalt keep this service in this month." And it's referring to the Passover, as we just went over the night we did communion, that God had told Moses to institute the Passover. You know, they took the lamb, put the blood on the lintel, the side post and the lintel. They roasted the lamb, ate it with their staff in their hand and ready to roll. You know, they were supposed to eat it in a hurry. It's like it's the first fast food there is in the Bible. Right. Move out, boom. But God said, hey, remember this, and every year they were supposed to have that feast called the Passover. And it was to help them be reminded that at one time they were in bondage, and that with God's great strength, he got them out. So it was important to their lives. It was important to their souls. It was a benefit to them to remember it. Let's go to chapter 20 of Exodus. It would benefit Israel to remember what God did for them by doing the Passover every year. It was a benefit to them. Chapter 20, verse 8. Another command God gives concerning something, and that is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It was a benefit to God, a benefit to God's people, to keep the Sabbath, which was a day where they were to not really do a servile work a little bit, just to keep things going. They didn't have electric timers like the Jews do in Lakewood. You could do a little bit of, Sabbath day journey was a short distance, The principle of it was that to rest your life and to think about God and his word. And it was needful. God's just the way we're made. We need time to do that. And God says, hey, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Keep it according to what the design of the Sabbath is. So it was a command. And man could obey it and say, okay, I'm going to benefit from doing it, or I got too much to do, I'm not taking the Sabbath. Let's go to Numbers chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15. So God remembers, we've seen that. He's commanding man to remember, the children of Israel, specifically in these things. Numbers chapter 15. This is just very practical. We see this in our own culture for different things. Chapter 15, verse 37. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death." No, this isn't it. Am I in the right book?
Probably not.
I'm in Numbers 15. Oh, I'm reading 35. Okay, sorry. That didn't sound too happy. The blessings of God. Verse 37, we're getting out of that neighborhood. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe," I guess this would be a fringe benefit, "that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." So that little blue ribbon in the fringe of their garments was to help them remember what God had done for them. You know, we do that all the time. You know, we wear certain things. I mean, Christians, knowledgeable Christians, will wear a cross around their neck to remind them. It's not just to say, "Hey, I'm a Christian." Supposedly, it's to remind them of what Jesus did, I guess. But we have things that we wear, or symbols of, or decorations or whatever, to remind us of what God has done or will do. And this guy specifically told him to do. And like I said, it's a fringe benefit. I wonder if that's how the term came about. Could be. Anyway, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. In the tabernacle, and the believers in Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, just did a couple weekends ago, going over the tabernacle. And almost basically everything in that tabernacle had a purpose to help remind the children of Israel of the coming Christ and of what God had done for them. Everything had a reason. Everything had a purpose to help aid them to remember and to look forward. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15 says, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God command thee to keep the Sabbath." So they were commanded to remember that they were a bondman, and again to keep the Sabbath. Chapter 7, verse 17. "And remember, these were benefits to those people to live life, to live for God." Chapter 7, verse 17 says, "If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I," because God wanted the children of Israel to move into the promised land, and there were some big, big tough nations that they had to overcome. "If you say in your heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto the Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out. So shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid." So if they started getting a little fearful, "I don't know if we can beat up these guys," they were to remember what God did to bring them out of Egypt. And if you recall, this is exactly what happened when they were at the threshold of the promised land, and God said, "Okay, it's time to go in." And they said, "Well, how about we send in spies?" So they sent in 12 spies, and 10 of them said, "These guys are so big, there's no way we're going to handle these guys. Let's just not go in there." And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, no, our God can overcome them. Those two guys were remembering what God had done in Egypt. Those other 10 were like, we forgot about what the... So God's commanded them, when you get a little fearful, you remember that I was the one that took you out of Egypt with a powerful hand and beat Egypt and beat the Pharaoh and all the power that he represented. Let's go to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. So remembering is a call to action. It's an aid, a benefit to our lives. It was an aid and a benefit to those who did it in the Old Testament. You see, God utilizes it. Psalm 20, verse 6 says, now I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from the holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You know, some do, you know, when there's tough times, some people go to, well, I got this bank account I can fall on, or I got this in up my sleeve, or I got that up my sleeve, or I'll look to man's for help. And here the psalmist is saying, you know, some people do go that route, but I'm going the way of remembering what God can do and what his strength is. And that's a great thing to do for, you know, what a benefit to be reminded of God's great abilities. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're getting our finger exercises today. Now we're going to stay in Deuteronomy for a while, a little while. We're just going to read some of these verses where over and over and over again he exhorts the children or commands the children of Israel to remember. So the first one we're going to is chapter 8, verse 2. It says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he which giveth thee power to wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Chapter 9, verse 7. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came into this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Remember, you guys were a bunch of AHs, and you disobeyed. That was apparently necessary for them to remember, because maybe when they wanted to disobey again, they could recall the great things that happened to them. Chapter 15. So not only remember what great things God can do, but the times they disobeyed. Chapter 15, verse 15. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. Must have been important for those children of Israel to remember that at one time they were in bondage and they cried unto the Lord thy God for freedom and for getting out of it. Must have been important for them to remember at one time they didn't own their own lives, so to speak. Must have been important. He keeps bringing it up. Chapter 16, verse 3. Referring to the Passover time. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For thou comest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast. Okay, we're going to move to verse 12. I didn't read my note. Verse 12, same chapter. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Chapter 24. Must have been important. Chapter 24, verse 9. Remember what the Lord thy God did unto Miriam by the way, after that ye were come forth out of Egypt. Chapter 24, verse 18. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. When thou cuttest down thine harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheaf in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. But it shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hands. When thou beatest thine olive tree, thou shalt not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, and for the widow. When thou gatherest the grapes of thy vineyard, thou shalt not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the stranger, for the fatherless, for the widow. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore I command thee to do this thing. In our day and time, we have social help. You know, we have welfare and all kinds of things that our government provides to help people that have a need. In that day and time, the way God designed it is he said, okay, you guys that are growing stuff, don't take 100% of everything that's in that field. Leave a little bit, and it's for the people who have a great need. And do this because you guys remember at one time you were in that same spot. Don't forget that one time you were picking up olives off the ground that somebody else left. Isn't that amazing though? If you forget, then you're going to say, hey, I want all those olives. So God's endeavoring to help those people. Chapter 25, verse 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary. He feared not God. He had no respect for God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thy enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. God wanted vengeance on that man. And so they go into the children of Israel, and I mean into the promised land. We're going to go to 1 Samuel and see the continuation of that wonderful commandment. There came a point when Israel did rest from all their enemies, and he had the first king, Saul. God had commanded Samuel the prophet, said, go tell Saul, I want you to kill Amalek and all his people and all his animals and all that stuff. And verse 1, it says, Samuel, who also, chapter 15, I'm sorry, I didn't tell you about that. Chapter 15, verse 1, it says, Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. And he tells them, don't spare, and this and that. And Saul, for certain reasons, chose not to obey that which was commanded him. And in verse 17, Samuel, as the prophet, is reproving and confronting Saul with his disaction and disobedient. Verse 17 says, and Samuel said, and he's speaking to Saul, when you were little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? See, he didn't remember. He didn't obey. God wanted those Amalekites obliterated. He had his reasons. And he sent his man to go do it, and his man didn't remember. That was the end of Saul. Let's go to the New Testament. We won't be too much longer. Only another hour. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We looked at this the other day. Last week, I think it was. I don't remember. It's a joke. The resurrection, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and the women came to go see Jesus and pour some more spices on him, this and that. And they had quite an awakening and surprise to their life. And the angel at the entry of the sepulcher speaks to these people. Verse 9. Verse 6. Verse 6. I have verse 9 on my thing, but it's verse 6. He, referring to Jesus, is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. They were having trouble remembering about what Jesus Christ taught on the resurrection. And this angel says, remember what he said to you. Remember that. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Here's some things that we are very specifically to the church of God, which is us, to the believers, the born-again ones, are to remember. Chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore remember, written to us, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood, or close by the blood of Christ. God wants us to remember where we were before we got born again. And there's many verses, we read just a few of them, where God told Israel, you guys remember at one time you were bondmen and I got you the heck out of Egypt. He wants us to remember at one time we were way outside of the will of God. And we were without him, without hope, without Christ. But then by his mercy and his grace, we got born again. So he wants us to have that in remembrance. Let's look at verse 1 of the same chapter. And you hath he quickened or made alive who were, times past, dead in trespasses and sins. Whereas times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also most of you, all of you, had, all of us, had our conversation or lifestyle in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, and it talks about us getting born again, we're to remember that at one time we were walking the course of this world having no clue as to what God's word says or what he's done for it made available to mankind. That's a pretty substantial thing to remember, to keep in our heart. And so as a remembrance, it does call us to action. Okay, I want to walk for God. I'm just very thankful that I have what I have. You know, those type of things. Before we lived here, we lived at this house. Many of you probably actually been there. The one on Walnut Street. And the people next door to us had this German Shepherd. And I never had a fondness of German Shepherds due to some times as a kid being on the wrong side of the growl of a German Shepherd. So I never trusted them. And we actually allowed that German Shepherd, because they always left the dog free. It was never on a leash. And the dog would come into our yard at times. And I never had a concern for it nipping at our kids. He was the most thankful dog I've ever seen in my life. And his name was Orphan. They called him Orphan. And he was an orphan dog. And he had such a humility for a German Shepherd. He must have been beat or whatever. But his life was crap. And then these people took him and just took care of him. And that dog had a sense of, I'm glad to be around. And he just had no meanness in him at all. It was really amazing. And he was properly called or named Orphan. You know, he remembered, he, as a dog, could remember what it was like before he got taken care of. So how about us? How well have we been taken care of by God Almighty? We were strolling along having no clue, with our fingers up to God and everything else. No clue what was going on. And God, by His rich mercy, richness of mercy and love, saved us. Let's go to Corinthians chapter 11. We went over this a couple weeks ago. One of the great commands of to the church from God Almighty of what we are to do concerning the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. We're to remember that at one time, before we got born again, we were walking the course of this world. And we're also to remember the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 11, verse 23. And when he had given thanks, referring to Jesus Christ, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we call it a memorial, right? We bring to our memory that which he's done. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament or New Covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show or proclaim the Lord's death till he come. So we're to remember as oft as we eat and drink the accomplishments of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness, the remission of sins, the healing that is available to us and has happened to us so often. And lastly, we're going to 2 Peter, which is right after 1 Peter, chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1. So what great things God has commanded us to remember. That we were at one time without the covenants of God, without hope, walking around as a being owned by the devil, and of the great accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And here in Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, talks about the great precious promises of God and some great things to add, you know, that we look at in God's word and stuff. And in verse 12, it mentions, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Even though you're living them and you're established in them, I want to remind you of them. Must be something that leaders should do, and we do for each other in the body of Christ. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet or adequate, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing this, that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed us, or showed me. He got revelation that he was going to die soon, and he's going to keep stirring these guys up till he takes his last breath. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. An important thing. So three major things that God wants the church to remember. One is that we, you know, there was a time where we were Gentiles outside of the will of God, outside of the covenants of Israel, without God, without hope. The other is to remember the accomplishments of Jesus Christ for the new covenant. And then these things here concerning the promises of God, the greatness of the God, of God's word. It's obviously helpful for us to call to an action of that which we have in Christ Jesus. Good to remember, hey, what we have. Otherwise, what starts filtering through our brains is what the world's presenting. One or the other. And the world's not presenting anything that's lined up with the truth of God's word. Unless it's tagged on there and then sends it out in the wrong direction right afterwards. That's about it. So just a great word, remember. And who does the remembering? Somebody else for you, right? No. We do. And we just remember where we were, where we are, and what we have available. Oh, it's just a terrific thing. Amen. So, we should remember.